Welcome to our service for the 12th Sunday after Trinity. By the time you're listening to this, then God willing, Jane and I will be going away for a short holiday. It does mean that there is no online service or CD next Sunday. We begin today with a modern hymn, In Christ Alone, My Hope is Found. And now our time of penitence. Lord Jesus, you came to reconcile us to the Father. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, by your cross, many children are brought to glory. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you search our hearts by your indwelling Spirit. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the 12th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than either we desire or deserve. Pour down upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask, but through the merits and mediation of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
Darlleniad o lyfr Deuteronomium. Edrych a rwyfam roi'r dewis i ti heddiw, rhwng bywyd a marwolaeth, rhwng daioni a dragioni. Oherwydd yr wyf fi heddiw yn gorchymyn i ti gari'r arlwyd y ddiw, a rhodio yn ei ffyrdd a chadw ei orchmynion, ei reolau a'i ddeddfau. Yna byddai fyw a chei amlhau, a bydd yr arglwyd y ddiw yn dyfendithio yn y wlad yr wyt yn mynd iddi i'w meddiannu. Ond os byddi'n troi i ffwrdd ac yn peidio a gwrando, ac yn cael dyddenu i addoli a gwasanaethu diwiau estron, yna dyma fi'n dweud wrth i teddiw, fydd lwyr ddiffodi'r di, ac nid estynu'r dyddyddiau yn y tir yr wyt yn croesi'r iorddonen i'w feddiannu. Yr wyf yn galw'r nef a'r deiar yn dystion yn dy erbyn heddiw, i mi roi'r dewis i ti rhwng bywyd ag angau, rhwng bendydd a melldydd. Dewis dithau fywyd er mwyn i ti fyw, tydi a ddisgynyddion, gan gari'r arglwyd y ddiw a gwrando ar ei lais a glynu wrtho, oherwydd ef yw dy fywyd, ac fe fydd yn estyn dy ddyddiau i ti gael byw yn y tir yr addawodd yr arglwydd i'r dadau, Abram, Isaac a Jacob, a byddai'n ei roi iddynt. Dyma air yr arglwydd. A reading from the letter of Paul to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Epaia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God, because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith towards the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though, I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty. Yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. This is the word of the Lord.
Shepherd, I'm not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul, and I will trust in you.
The Gospel reading is taken from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter, beginning at the 25th verse. Large crowds were travelling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he's laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all those who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or what king going out to wage war against another king will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000. If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So, therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I said last week that the lectionary readings become more difficult to preach from as the season of Trinity progresses towards the end of the liturgical year. Today's Gospel reading is no exception. It's difficult from first to last. Its first sentence is, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple." And its last is, "None of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." Good luck to the preacher who wants to expound those texts, you might think. Still, nothing ventured. I suppose the first verse is most obviously addressed to Jesus' Jewish hearers. As a Jew, if you did decide to become a follower of Jesus, it would be very likely to divide you from your family and your community. From the very first days of Jesus' public ministry, the Jewish authorities were opposed to him and to his teaching. After his death and resurrection, that opposition hardened into something very like persecution. Some scholars suggest that the New Testament exaggerates this, but no one, so far as I know, doubts the basic narrative that the first Christian martyr, Stephen, was the victim of a Jewish stoning, and that Saul of Tarsus, who minded the stoners' coats at that grim event, was later given authority by the Sanhedrin to pursue and seek out Jews as far away as Syria they would become Christians, and to punish them with imprisonment. A narrative confirmed later, of course, by Saul's, now Paul's, own testimony. In the very family-centred and community-centred faith that Judaism was and still is, to become a Christian was to leave the life of your family and your community behind. In some stricter Christian communities, that is still the case. In New Testament times, what it meant increasingly was that you would be mingling or suspected of mingling with other Christians who were Gentiles. There was literally a riot when Paul was suspected of bringing an uncircumcised person into the temple in Jerusalem. Without any doubt, you would be likely to meet opposition and ultimately rejection from your parents, your brothers and sisters, even your husband or wife. The New Testament epistles have specific teaching for married people whose spouses do not share their Christian faith. In other words, the choice of whether to become a follower of Jesus was a very difficult one indeed. It was a huge step, and it might mean, for most of the early Jewish Christians, it probably did mean losing any sense of comfort in the bosom of the family with whom you'd shared the Sabbath meal each week, losing the fellowship of the local synagogue where you'd met your friends and listened to the great stories of the faith within the community of the faithful, losing the chance to go on those wonderful holiday pilgrimages to Jerusalem with your family, and much, much more. But in the last analysis, unless you were willing to give up all that, you could not be a disciple of Jesus. "I was circumcised on the eighth day," wrote Paul, "a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. Yet I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things." So he had. So had they all. Which brings us to the last sentence of our reading. "None of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." In truth, we don't know exactly what Jesus may have meant by this. Acts tells us that the very first Christian community in Jerusalem pooled all their possessions and distributed as each member of the community had need. It was an experiment that didn't last long, as the church rapidly expanded into new places and different cultures. But what did not change in the early decades was the sacrifice involved in becoming a Christian, which might always include your possessions. It was also likely to mean your prospects of inheritance. Within Judaism, inheritance was certainly not automatic, as we know from New Testament parables like the story of the prodigal son, and Old Testament narratives like the story of Esau and Jacob. It depended on the wishes of the father, the head of the family. If becoming a Christian meant that you were rejected by your family, it was very likely to mean that you would also be excluded from your inheritance. That was something else you'd have to be ready to lay down. But it was small beer. I don't mean that it wasn't very much money or land. It might, in individual circumstances, have been quite a lot. But once you'd given up your family, your community, your lifelong membership of the local synagogue and the temple in Jerusalem, all those things which up to now had been fundamental to your identity and to your cherished sense of who you were, once you'd given up all those, giving up your possessions was small beer. On one level, these things seem very remote from us. We know that in our own time, anything we've had to give up or risk in order to follow Christ is hardly to be compared with what the first Christians had to give up and what they had to risk. But the principle remains the same. Any kind of sacrifice that we make as Christians, sacrifice of time or money or anything else, any of those things will seem like no sacrifice at all once we've accepted, first and foremost, that our lives are given to the Lord. It's always that way round. We present ourselves, we say, our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Once you've given the Lord the whole of your life, your time, your talents, your relationships, your cherished ambitions and your secret hopes, once you've given the Lord all those things, the rest inevitably follows, and your possessions are likely to be neither here nor there in the calculation. Amen. It's time for our prayers. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Entad. Arruit yn y nefoedd, sancteiddia dy enw, deled dy dernas gwnela dy wyllus, megis yn y nef fechlu ar y ddear hefyd. Dyda ni heddiw ein bara beinyddiol, y maddau i ni ein dyledion fel y maddeiwn unnau ein dyledwyr. Ac nac arfa ni brofedigaeth, eith y gwared ni rhag drwg. Can ei seiddo ti o'r dernas, a'r gallu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oes oedd. Amen.
Everlasting God, as you look down on our church family here assembled, we thank you for the places in which we worship together. Thank you for the love that unites us, for the peace we enjoy today, and for the hopes we have for tomorrow. We thank you too for the health we enjoy, for the work that keeps us cheerfully occupied, for the food that sustains us, for the beauty around us that makes our lives delightful, and for our friends in every corner of the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Arglwydd, gofynnwn i chi arwain eich eglwys. Bendithian Hesgob Joanna, ein harch ddeaconau lun, a John, ein gweinidog ardal leol. Hefyd dros Matthew, Judith, Martin, Heilwen, a phawb sydd yn gwasanaethu yn eich eglwysu. Helpwch ni weld yr Iesu ym mhob wyneb, ac i adnabod ei gobeithion, dyhaiadau a dymuniadau. Arglwydd, yn dy drigaredd, gwrando ein gweddi. Creator God, in this uncertain time politically for our nation, as we undergo a change of Prime Minister and the tensions in Parliament dominate the headlines, we pray for the new Prime Minister and party leaders as they negotiate the political future of the nation. We pray also for those who represent their communities in Parliament and in the Senedd in Cardiff. May they always have the interests of the people in all that they do. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, as we approach the end of the summer and students and teachers return to schools, colleges and universities, we ask for your guidance as they take the next step in their educational journey. We give thanks for the summer holidays and the chance to relax and recharge our batteries, as well as spend time with friends and family. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, sometimes life seems out of control, and we don't know exactly which direction to take, especially when we are or someone we know is unwell. Thank you for overseeing our lives and prompting us in the right way through your word and your spirit. We remember before you now those dear to us who are causing us concern. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, remember the souls of your servants now fallen asleep and for those who are saddened by their passing. Be with the bereaved in their loneliness and give them the faith to look beyond their present troubles to your Son Jesus Christ, who died and rose again and who lives forevermore. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Faithful God, we praise you for all you have done in the past. We look forward with thankfulness for all you will do in the future. And we thank you for today and all the blessings we experience. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Gofyn bywyd noethus ar y byd. am daoni techach yun alin yin dros dim ond calon lana chanir chanir dydd a chanir nos ed y min o'n olyd bydol chwi ma den i ddydd o si yn rhyn weddol yn dwy'n fathol erw fydd calon lan yn llan dawn i techach yw'n alun i'n dos dim ond calon lan a chani chani'r dydd a chani'r nos
Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen.